Oh, Merry Christmas, everybody. Feliz Navidad. I'm probably the only Christian working on Christmas Eve, but that's okay, and I'll tell you why. Welcome to The Fan on Christmas Eve of 2024. Yes, see, I am Ricky Ricardo. Rami Levee will produce our program tonight, so Rami and I will take you on a five-hour journey along with NORAD, who will keep its eye on the radar on Santa Claus as he works his way around the globe. And eventually, by the time we get off the air tonight, Santa Claus, Kris Kringle, could be working his way, unless there's a ground stop like there was today at some of the airports with American Airlines. But Santa Claus might be working his way into the metropolitan area as of midnight tonight. And if you were good, if you were a good boy or a girl, then maybe he's going to bring you something special. And if you were bad, you know what you're going to get. But be that as it may, we have plenty to talk about, and we invite you to participate at 888-808-1019. Mr. Levee, good evening to you, my friend. How are you?
I'm doing all right, Ricky. How about yourself?
Look, here's the deal. Because people are wondering, wait a minute, Latinos, you know, take Nochebuena. That's what we call Christmas Eve, Nochebuena. We take it real seriously, and we do. But in my household, you know, you've got a weird set of circumstances. So my mother is in Miami with her whole group of friends, all right? And they're all in their 70s and 80s. Where she lives, they've got like a community center, and they've got an event there where I think they've got tonight a Bee Gees band, like a Bee Gees cover band.
Love that.
All right. So all these women of that age are going to watch the Bee Gees cover band because supposedly the guy that plays the role of Robin Gibb is really handsome, tall, looks, sounds just like him, the whole thing. So Christmas Eve, my mother chose the Bee Gees, a phony version of the Bee Gees, over her own son. Okay. I shouldn't say that because I actually bought her the ticket. So at my house, my son is with his girlfriend. Now, he's at his age now where the girlfriend becomes more important than the parents. Did you live through that, Rami?
Yes.
Are you there?
Yes, of course.
Okay. So, you know, now we're second on the totem pole. So my wife had to work today. Okay. And she can't get on a flight to get here to our home in Florida. And I'm doing this from my studio inside my home in Florida. So she can't get here until first thing tomorrow. Not because there's not an available seat on an airplane tonight, but, and I know she's not listening, so I can say this without getting in trouble, but my wife is afraid to fly at night. Now, what the difference is between flying daytime or nighttime, I've been down this road with her for years now, trying to convince her that either you're afraid to fly or you're not. That day or night shouldn't make a difference. Just lower the shade at the window or take an aisle seat and just take a book with you.
That's what I was going to say. Is there something different about a night flight?
Yeah, it makes no sense. But there's no convincing my wife that flying at night is the same as flying in the daytime. So she won't fly until the sun comes up. So she is on a morning flight to get home. So we will we'll open presents and the whole thing tomorrow on Christmas Day. And for Christmas Eve, everybody's doing their own thing. The kid's with his girlfriend in Palm Beach. The wife's in Miami with her girlfriends at Barry Gibb, a phony version of him. The wife had to work, so she can't get on a plane to get here until tomorrow morning. So why the heck not? I'll spend this with you, the greatest sports fans in the world, the greatest radio listeners in the world, on the greatest sports radio station ever invented, The Fan in Nueva York. So that is basically the reason why I am with you tonight, because really, why not? Why the heck not? And there's so much to talk about. Look, the obvious subjects we're going to touch on. And I've been doing some more digging into the Soto contract. It's amazing. If you're not familiar with the Dominican Republic and its thirst and love for baseball. Short of what we have in the U.S., well, the U.S. is kind of is the melting pot for baseball. I mean, let's face it. Right now, Major League Baseball, the bigger stars in the game, the majority of them are international stars. You've got the guys from Japan. You've got the guys from the Dominican. You've got the guys from Venezuela. You've got, still a couple of guys from Puerto Rico. You've got a couple of guys from Cuba mixed in with all the American stars. But the projections are, and we're pretty close right now, the projections that I have seen are that in the next 5 to 6 years, the minor leagues will be minorities will be the majority, and mostly Hispanics, because the Japanese players don't come over here to play in the minors. You know, they get posted, the whole thing. You know, it's a different route to Major League Baseball from Japan, which is the other hotbed of talent. Now, from, you know, Latin American countries, you have the international signings and all that, but they come through the minor leagues. So in just a matter of a couple of years, before 2030, the minor leagues are going to be majority Latino, which means that not far behind that, Major League Baseball is going to be majority Latino. Okay? So there is an information network within the Latino baseball world where a lot of news, a lot of things start to break, a lot of rumors, and, you know, a good percentage of the time, some of the things that you hear within that rumor mill, within the community, turn out to be true, okay? We knew about Wander Franco being in trouble way before, you know, it came out publicly in the U.S. because people talk about, oh, this is happening, this could go down, blah, blah, blah. You know, so both good news, bad news, contracts, you know, where a player may end up signing, all that kind of stuff brews within this inner circle that really is based out of Santo Domingo in the Dominican Republic. So the Juan Soto situation is amazing because all I keep hearing is how much of an influence Juan Soto's mom had on his final decision. Now, he is a 26-year-old baseball player who has a younger brother who many say, many. I was in an Uber. When was it? Monday morning, I was in an Uber going to the airport to fly back here home from Newark. And I had a Dominican driver who was a big baseball fan. And he told me stuff that I didn't even know. Because I'm telling you, this is a tight-knit community. Dominican baseball fans have a way of finding things out. So there's an article in the Post today. And some of the stuff that that this particular driver and some of the rumor mills and some of the reporters have shared, if you read some of the Santo Domingo newspapers or listen to some of their sports people, it all connects. But Juan Soto's mom may have been the final push to get him to go to the Mets. Now, all right, Rami, for example, we are arriving at the end of the year. What is the one thing, or one of the several things that here at the end of the year and into the new year, we all of us that work, all right, that work for a living, we all get the paperwork for how much you made in that particular year. What is that? The 1099? What is it?
1099 W-2.
Right. Yep. The W-2 1099. You know, you get the report so that you could use that as the basis to pay your taxes the following year, right? Okay. So we all go through those numbers with a fine-tooth comb. Oh, this year I made a little bit more. This year I made a little bit less. Okay? And every penny to people like you and me. And look, I make a decent salary. I'm not going to lie to you. But nothing close to, you know, the players. Nothing close to some other broadcasters. But that's a whole other story. But I want to break down. I saw this breakdown the other day. A mathematical breakdown. So that every minute of every hour of every day that you walk around as a baseball fan, I want you to make sure that as you breathe and as you live, you realize how much money for the next 15 years Juan Soto is going to make as of first pitch I'm assuming that they're using first pitch of opening day as the start point for this contract. All right, Rami, you ready for this?
I'm ready. Is this a math problem? Because I'm going to need you to help me out.
No. The math is already done.
Oh, perfect. Great. Right.
So for the next 15 years, Juan Soto will make $314,000 per game. Per game. So the next time you go to a Met game and you walk in, and maybe you saved up to buy the tickets, and you know it's a family of four, and you know you paid the parking, and you're in your seat and you're waiting to see number 22. Just realize that that guy out there playing that game is making $314,000 per game. All right. Now at week's end. Okay, at week's end, what do you think that makes it per week, Rami Lavi? How about $980,770? Per day, it's $140,000. Per hour, $5,840. Would you like me to break it down to the minute? Yes, minute, ladies and gentlemen. $97 per minute, and I will go even deeper. Per second, $1.60 every time 1 second peels off the clock. How does that make you feel right now, Rami Levy?
I mean, he gets paid more per the second than I get paid per the hour.
All right, that is the breakdown, and hopefully this is, look, it's on Twitter, and a couple of people, you know, that I trust backed it up. It is absolutely amazing what this guy is going to make to play baseball, okay? And he's not even a 5-tool player. But according to all the reports that you get from the Dominican Republic, Mom had a lot to do with him finally choosing the Mets over the Yankees. And look, all the credit has to go to Steve Cohen and Mrs. Cohen, Alex, because they, I guess, portrayed this whole family thing. They get the suite, they get the premium seats. This report in the New York Post today is amazing. Now, it doesn't say, the Dominican reports tell you that the mom is getting a clothing allowance. You heard right. A clothing allowance. Now, I can't verify that. But many out of the Dominican Republic are saying that Mama Soto, is getting a clothing allowance. Now, I can guarantee you, Mama Soto is not shopping at TJ Maxx or at Marshall's, Walmart, or Target. Okay? Mama Soto is going to be Beverly Hills chic day after day after day. They've got the luxury suite. They've got four premium tickets. This is all in today's post. It's not being made up by Ricky Ricardo. Four premium seats for each game. And they have, which is the one thing that I'm scratching my head about, they have security. I mean, security for, you know, to escort them in and out of the ballpark. I mean, unless they plan on living like, I don't know, like, you know, John Sterling is the only guy that I always thought, why does he have a roll of cash in his pocket? Unless they're, you know, willing to walk around with a wad of cash in their pocket, and why would you? Then why would you need security to walk in and out of the ballpark? I mean, you're going to bend over backwards to make you feel at home. But part of the deal is a security detail for the Soto family. I mean, it's absolutely amazing what it took to get this thing done. Now, I can tell you that I am looking forward to being behind the mic for this Yankee season, probably more than I ever have before. And I'll tell you why. Because very quietly, and they're not finished. They're not done. All right? Brian Cashman is not done. Nowhere near being done. But very quietly right now, I think the Yankees may have the pieces in place. And this is 2025. I'm not looking anywhere beyond 2025. But I will sit here right now on Christmas Eve, 2024, even before Stearns is finished with his roster, even before Cohen is finished writing checks, but Cashman's not finished putting up his roster or putting together his pieces, nor is Hal Steinbrenner finished writing his checks. But I dare say right now, on Christmas Eve 2024, that the Yankees will have a better record than the New York Mets in 2025. Something about there's a gut baseball karma feeling that has come over me. And I got to admit, I didn't feel this way at the beginning. Okay? I was on the radio. They had me on Soto Watch, the powers that be at Odyssey and the Fan. And I take this as a compliment. They had me on Soto Watch that weekend, that Friday and that Saturday, when we all thought the Soto deal was going to go down. So as soon as something was announced, I would cut into whatever programming it was, college football, pro football, whatever it was. I would cut into whatever programming and start talking to Soto and break the Soto deal and break the news. And that's how it worked out. It was a Sunday night. There was a Sunday night football game going on. And I was sitting around and bang, as soon as the news broke, I turned on the machine, got on the radio, broke the news, and we started discussing the Soto contract with Juan Soto going to the New York Mets. But things have changed, haven't they? Things have slowly but surely started coming back towards the Bronx Bomber way. Paul Goldschmidt, maybe the comeback player of the year coming up. Huh? Max Fried, although the Max Fried contract, you know, six or seven years from now, Ronnie, that maybe we'll look back at this 8-year deal for Max Fried and maybe we'll feel differently. But for right now, it's only $12 million in the first year, which gives them flexibility to, you know, to fill other holes. All right.
The one, two punch. They win in the first couple of years.
Mm-hmm. The 1-2 punch for these first couple of years of Cole and Max Fried. All right. And like I said, they're not finished just yet. Although I will miss my good buddy Nestor Cortez, I will admit that. But you bring in a Devin Williams, probably the right now it's you know, you pick it. Diaz, Williams, who's the better closer in New York baseball right now? We can argue that if you like. But what the Yankees have done recently, and we'll get it, you know, Randy Miller caused an uproar when he was on my show a week before the Soto signing, and Randy, you know, made a lot of people very uncomfortable with what he said that day. He will join us tonight at 8 o'clock. And we will go over everything that happened and everything that may continue to happen as we work our way through the holidays, into the dead of winter, and then eventually pitchers and catchers reporting to Tampa, Florida. Right down the road. Now, I do think the Mets will get Pete Alonso, but there's no, look, there is no other place for Pete Alonso to play. Where are you going to tell me he's going to play? The Cubs? Come on. There is really no other place for Pete Alonso to sign than with the Mets. So, you know, I would advise the Alonso camp and Scott Boras, stop wasting our time and just get it done. I want the best version of the New York Mets possible on that field in Queens come opening day, because I will put the version that the New York Yankees will have put together before opening day up against them 7 days a week. All right? That is my gut feeling. As of right now, I got to check the schedule, see what that, the Subway Series this year, by the way, you know, these last few years, it's been two game series, not this year, 2025, the way the thing works, every, I guess, 3 or 4 years, you get the whole deal. You get the six as the natural rival thing. So in 2025, let me pull up the schedule here. You're going to get the Yankees and Mets with 2 3-game series. So the first one is at Yankee Stadium coming up on May 15th, 16th, 17th, and 18th. So mark your calendars right now. The Yankees will have come off of a road trip. Now, I don't want anything, any excuses. There are off days before the series and after the series. Okay, the Yankees will finish in Seattle with an afternoon game on Wednesday the 14th. They will fly. They will get rest, readjust the body after a West Coast trip to Sacramento. It's not Oakland anymore. They'll go to Sacramento and Seattle. They will fly back on that night, Wednesday, May 14th, into early Thursday morning the 15th, have a complete day off. And then the Metsies will come in on the 16th on a Friday night, Saturday afternoon, 1:05, and then to be determined the time on Sunday, May 18th. All right? So that is the first 3-game set of the Subway Series for 2025. Now, let's go through June. It's not in June. It's not in July. The 3 games at Citi Field will be... When? Am I overlooking this at all? Let me see. Is it? It's got to be either July or August. I don't think it would... Okay, it is in July. As a matter of fact, the Yankees will play the Mets on the 4th of July at Citi Field. It's a Friday this year. Oh, baby, what a weekend. Oh, my. The Yankees at the Mets, 4th of July. Now, what I don't like is that the Yankees play at night the day before, that Thursday. The Yankees are in Toronto, and then they will fly after the game for a 3:10 start at Citi Field on Friday the 4th of July, then a 4:10 Saturday, July the 5th, and right now it's 1:40, the first pitch on Sunday, July 6th at Citi Field. So the Yanks will have not much rest coming off of a night game the day before in Toronto, and then the 4th of July, Friday the 4th of July, what a weekend. Oh, baby. Yankees at the Mets on Friday the 4th of July, Saturday July 5th, and Sunday July 6th. All right, let's get on the horn. 888-808-1019, and let's talk about this. Because I'm telling you right now, as much as you're happy you've got Juan Soto, the New York Yankees will have a better record than the New York Mets. With Rami Lavie, I'm Ricky Ricardo. Merry Christmas. I will keep my eye on the NORAD radar and let you know how close Santa Claus is getting to our shores. He's coming in from Europe. Okay? Coming from that direction. We'll keep you posted on Santa between now and midnight. Christmas Eve on The Fan in New York.